Jim Carrey is known for comedies like The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, and classics like The Truman Show, where he played a man who discovers his entire life is being filmed and watched by a worldwide audience. Now Carrey has author next to his name. His new book is titled Memoirs and Misinformation, but it's anything but a typical memoir. Instead, the novel, which Carrey co-wrote with Dana Vachon, centers around a character named Jim Carrey, who happens to also be a successful comedian, on a quest for relevance and artistic recognition. There's also a lot of name-dropping in this piece of fiction, stars like Nicolas Cage and Gwyneth Paltrow, and the character Carrey is dealing with a troubled love life, wildfires, and the possibility of an apocalypse. Memoirs and Misinformation debuted on the New York Times bestseller list this week. And joining me now are Jim Carrey and Dana Vachon. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
Thanks, Tanya.
Wonderful talking to you.
So in reading this book, the thought that crossed my mind is that you all had way too much fun writing it together. Is that true?
Yeah, we are both very exploratory and inventive people. And we started talking. We had a long conversation that lasted a few years and eventually evolved into this kind of explosion of ideas and apocrypha about my life. And we decided that memoirs just aren't where it's at because they're kind of fictitious anyway.
And when you say a few years, I mean, you're talking 8 years. That's a long time.
Start to finish with, I mean, I think conversation, we see it as a beautiful conversation. And there were the first 2 or 3 years were pure conversation, which I think you needed to have to build the trust that would then be required for like 2 years of intense writing together.
I had no idea I was being mined.
So you all met on Twitter about a decade ago at the beginnings of Twitter, really. And this friendship turned into the mining, as you said, the thinking about what this book would be. But how did you all come together in this idea of putting it in this way?
I think that we came to the conclusion at a certain point, what are we doing? We want to do something, you know, and all of these wild creative ideas were coming. And we went, you know, this is better than reality, you know, as has been proven throughout history, you know, everything's been embellished, everything from American history to King Arthur's story.
We have a friend who's a brilliant professor of medieval literature at Sarah Lawrence named Jillian Adler. And we were talking about the book and how by creating something quite surreal, but fixing elements of reality in it, celebrities, you actually gain the ability to paint a truer portrait. She said, you know, guys, you're not the first ones down this path. Dante did it in the Inferno.
Yeah.
And I think we ended up composing an Inferno.
We get asked a lot what people are going to think, what the celebrities are going to think about being in the piece. And this is a time-honored tradition. You know, it goes back to Dante and the Divine Comedy. He used the contemporary celebrities of the day to populate that book.
And Inferno was on our mind from the beginning because when we met, Jim had just done a painting of Malibu in flames.
Oh, that's right. You are a painter.
You know, that's where the book's heading. So the image of fire and of apocalypse was cardinal from the outset.
I want to touch on some of the things in the book. We laugh because the main character is a man named Jim Carrey, but it's not exactly you. But then it is you. I mean, through satire, you two touch on the current issues in Hollywood, like cultural appropriation, for instance, white actors playing people of color. But then there are other parts of this book that are resonant and of the moment. I mean, the quest to stay relevant. It's a universal feeling that's only heightened by social media. What do you think, Jim?
Social media came in a few years back and basically lit everybody up with the same desire, the same obsession with relevance, hoping for complete strangers who have no idea who you are to press your subscriber button. And so everybody became Truman at a certain point. Everybody has their own bubble.
Except
their own seaside.
Truman got meals and healthcare.
And I always, you know, I always get asked, what do you think happened to Truman when he left the bubble? You know, and I always say, well, what happened in real life? Everybody on the outside decided to go inside the bubble. Ultimate loneliness is this hyper-connectedness, but we never really get to know the real people because they're forming themselves by the likes of others. So this Jim Carrey in the book represents that. It represents ego, represents dealing with the extreme weather patterns of fame. It also represents the mistaken ideas that the readers have about what fame is and what it might be like.
Right, right.
People have no idea. And I'm not saying it's a negative because I could never stack my life up as a negative. But I will say that it's an extraordinary event that happens to very few people when everyone knows who you are wherever you go.
Yeah. Mm. You know, one of the early images, the root of fame is fama, which is rumor. To be spoken about is to be famous. And there's a description in the Aeneid of what fama is, which is this very frightening bird where under every feather is an eyeball and a mouth. Mm. Fame is a very frightening thing. And I think that to have navigated it as successfully as Jim has gives him a lot of authority to describe it in the way that we've chosen to here.
Yeah. Do you, like the character Jim Carrey in this book, also worry about your relevance?
There's been times it's mostly, and I can't say I don't, but you start out with a team and you're fighting against the world with that team. And at a certain point, that team has other agendas, you know, and then their agenda becomes you're getting outside the box. It's hurting you. People think you're crazy. And I go, well, do you think, I don't think it's that crazy to be concerned about children who are being shot in their schools. Is that a crazy thing now?
Because they have you in this box of being a comedian, the person that makes us laugh.
Yeah. And we know you this way, so don't be another way. We, you know, it's partly my fault. It's anybody who gets famous's fault. We sell the world a character and we make them believe it's a constant. And no character can be a constant. No form of behavior can be a constant.
And in fact, it's a fiction, which is one of the reasons why fiction is the best way to treat that creation, that persona.
Hmm. I want to ask you about that, Dana. So there's a lot of human emotion coming through comedy. For example, the character Jim Carrey does an adaptation of a hungry, hungry hippo opposite of a rhino who is digitally created. It's a version of the late Rodney Dangerfield. What was the process of writing what feels like an absurd storyline to tell what seems to be genuine feelings?
Well, I think we were engineering there a portal so that when the character Jim Carrey passed, it goes into that production chamber, the reader is also entering a place of uncertain reality. And I think what we found as a writing team was that once we entered the chamber, we were living in this place of real unreal as well. We thought that it would be fairly quick. And one day Jim said, I don't know what you thought we were doing for the next 2 days, but Rodney Dangerfield is back among the living and we're writing Rodney bits. Which
I'm walking around the living room going, hey, you know what I mean?
Which is always a fun way to spend a couple of days. Hey, I tell you, you know, I'm going to get no respect at all, man.
But Jim, you had a personal relationship with Rodney Dangerfield. So this was very much real, but in this other way.
The emotion couldn't help but come through. We were trying to deal with these things that are super serious things for me in this absurdist way. And yet the emotion can't help but come through. He was such a strong influence. He was such a light. And, I felt so lucky to be on the inside and to be admired by somebody like that.
Yeah. Another question. So I was the most idealistic about this world and in life in general. I was in my 20s in the 90s, and you were on Oprah, and you talked about how you would visualize your future, and you wrote this check for yourself as a broke actor for $1 million, which of course then you were able to cash years later. And I just remember the brightness of your face. But more than 20 years later, I mean, in reading this book, I don't know if we would call it pessimism, but your realism is right in line with kind of the decline in optimism that I have in our world. I'm hopeful for the future, but I'm wondering, are you still that bright-eyed guy from back then?
Yes, absolutely. I believe in the universe. I have magic happening at this very moment. This whole experience is not only did I get a best friend, but I got to places I never imagined possible. And this keeps happening to me. It keeps happening in every realm. I walk away seemingly from my audience, but I've never walked away from my audience. I have asked them for a lot, and they've given me a lot of understanding. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, when I kind of like go off on a journey, people go like, well, Jim's doing a journey, man. You know, it's like he's climbing another mountain. He's going to come down with some nugget of some sort and, you know, tape it on to the rest of the parade float.
Jim's one of the only people where if he released a straight memoir, many would say, what happened?
Really? Yeah.
And so I've had this wonderful journey.
You gain best friends in each other. Do you see yourselves working together on another project?
I think that's inevitable, you know.
Yeah.
So it's been a fantastic experience in every way, intellectually, spiritually, even when in the hardest of times, creatively, when we were bashing our heads together, and it happens, you know, we're two really strong-headed individuals, and we have our visions. And so every once in a while, that would be a conflict, but every time out, in the end, we came up with something even more extraordinary than either of us had initially conceived.
Which is magic.
Every single time, without fail.
Yeah.
You know, we went to bed some days just, you know, kind of crippled emotionally.
We can't end on that, but... Crippled emotionally, but now you're on the New York Times bestseller list. So congratulations there.
So
well done. Thanks.
Somewhat of a salve for the situation.
Well, Jim Carrey and Dana Fashan are the co-authors of Memoirs and Misinformation. Thank you both so much for talking with us.
Nice. Thank you, Tanya. I appreciate it so much.
To hear my full interview with Jim and Dana, we had a lot of fun. Go to hereandnow.org.